Hospitals run by Doctors Without Borders, also known as MSF, have been coming under attack in recent months in Syria, Yemen, and Afghanistan. Yet the organization is doubling down, continuing its work where it can in many of the world's most dangerous places.
For the NPR podcast Embedded, I spent a week in an MSF hospital in South Sudan. That country has just been through a brutal civil war. I was there with NPR's Jason Beaubien. Our story follows two doctors who work in the hospital and one tiny patient whose case says a lot about what keeps these doctors coming back.
The MSF hospital has 170 beds, and it's made up of a bunch of big white tents. The hospital compound is in one corner of what's grown to be the largest refugee camp in South Sudan.
One of just two doctors in this hospital is a pediatrician from Holland. Her name is Yiska Steensma. She's working in one of the wards for severely malnourished kids, and she's treating a very sick baby. The baby's name is Nyenyoni, and she's tiny. She also has malaria and a respiratory problem. Breathing is getting slower and slower.
So her blood sugar's dropped way low. She's moving fast.
Dr. Yiska tells a nurse to hold the baby's leg while she opens a package that contains a really thick needle.
It goes into the bone.
She has to push the needle into the baby's bone. It's a bone marrow IV. The baby starts getting the fluid she needs and her breathing evens out. She's a little bit better, but really, she's not. And in this moment, it all seems so unfair. This baby didn't do anything. She was born, and then she didn't get enough to eat, and now this.
It's going to be hard to not sit here all day. This baby was definitely going to die when she was putting in the IV. Basically, when she was shoving a needle into this girl's leg bone, and the girl didn't react. I just can't seem to leave.
So I sit there for about a half an hour, and then this happens.
Oh, she's opening her eyes.
Blinking.
Oh.
The nurse says the baby's awake and asking for water. Dr. Yiska and I are surprised.
What age is she again?
She's 3 years.
The girl is not a baby. She's 3 years old. She is so small, she only weighs 15 pounds, that this whole time, I and the doctor thought she was a baby. This tells me her situation is way worse than I thought. But right now, she is drinking water and she is crying, and that is good.
All right.
Yiska is clearly affected by sick patients like this. You can see it in her face. She's smiling like crazy when things go right. She's all twisted up and worried when they don't. We've been trying for days to get her to talk, to sit down, but she's always too busy. She's in that zone, working with the kids. Eventually, Kelly finally sits down with her in an office, and Yiska says when she first got to the hospital, it was really hard.
Just getting used to the mortality, to the children dying, to every two or three nights on call, big hospital. I remember at first I did have nightmares, but that lasted, the first week, I think.
She says now she's so immersed in this situation, she can't even imagine being back at home in Amsterdam.
I feel happy being here. I mean, it's hard work, you've seen it, and it's really, really frustrating. It has really high highs and deep lows, but it's really rewarding as well.
Yeah.
Just as well as it is super frustrating. It's not always fair. But yeah, here sometimes you do think, okay, there's just not enough for these children, and sometimes if you die and you write down cause of death, then sometimes I do think, born in South Sudan. So we're lucky.
The next day, the other doctor who works in this hospital, Navpreet Sasi, is on duty. Patients call him Dr. Nav. I meet up with him in the ward for malnourished kids. And he's asking the staff about the sick girl, Nyenyoni. Nav says, it's not looking good.
She's still, the one good thing, she's got some strength in her. She'll still kind of respond a little bit. If you know, she'll kind of look at you, you kind of get her attention. Earlier, she was sitting up a little bit with mom, but still very, very drowsy.
Yeah, she looks worse.
Yeah, but we still, we don't give up hope until
sure.
There's no hope left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's her.
Okay.
She's the sickest person on the ward, probably in the hospital right now.
And let's just look at her medicines here. So you finished.
This is Nav's second mission with MSF. His first one was in Yemen. Things got so bad during that mission. The fighting got so close to their hospital.
There was gun shooting and tank shooting and missile shooting all day, every day, and there were some very close incidents. So, you know, during my first mission, I almost came at peace with the idea that, you know, like I might not make it out of that mission.
One day, a mortar smashed through the window of the hospital. After that, MSF declared all its foreign workers, including Nav, had to leave. He says it felt like a failure. He'd been working so hard to help the patients, and then he was abandoning them. So he signed up for another mission here in South Sudan.
Where is the need? Is the need really, you know, in the downtown of a big city where there's, you know, tons and tons of doctors? Or is the need in a place where there are no doctors and no healthcare resources? In that environment, I mean, there's a huge opportunity to make a big impact on other people's lives.
So we are still in the ward for malnourished kids. And Dr. Nav tells the staff to keep a close eye on Nyenyoni, a tiny 3-year-old girl.
Can we do another Rizumal today? Another one?
A few hours later, someone comes to tell me. An emergency was called in the girl's ward. I try to go. Dr. Nav got called to resuscitate the girl. And now I'm standing at the hospital door. Nav walks by and just nods his head. She died. So I'm standing here at the entrance to the hospital because we don't want to, you know, bum rush them during this moment. But it happened. She died. Sunday afternoon. I mean, it's not been looking good for a couple days, right? But it finally happened. Dr. Nav walks away and says he needs a few minutes. A little bit later, we talk. He says the girl died of severe malnutrition and severe malaria. When Dr. Yiska finds out, at first, she's upset. She wants to know if there's anything else they could have done. Then later, she tells me she's accepted it. She has to believe they did what they could. By the time I go back into the ward, there's another patient in Nyenyoni's bed. I keep thinking about that thing Yiska told me, that the highs are so high here because the lows are so low. Like the smallest thing can be amazing after the worst thing happens. Life doesn't feel that way in Amsterdam.
Every week there's this thing that the staff does for the kids at the hospital. A Dutch guy named Frank, he gets out his guitar.
Clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
But pretty soon, the women and the kids, they hijack Frank's sing-along. They start singing these South Sudanese songs. More people crowd around.
And in that moment, it is so good. All the moms are into it. I'm laughing like an idiot the whole time.
Another one!
Yeah. All the international staff is there. Nav is blowing up balloons. Everyone's dancing. There are a lot of people in this hospital who are still alive.
That was my co-host Kelly McEvers, along with NPR's Jason Bobian. You can see pictures of Dr. Yiska and Dr. Nav and the tiny patient Nyenyoni at npr.org/South Sudan.